God bless you and good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 5 and let's talk about going deeper with Jesus. Going deeper with Jesus. Luke chapter 5, and let's begin reading together at verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's just another name for the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him listening to the word of God. Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "But Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and they followed him. Would you bow your heads with me and let's invite the Holy Spirit in. Stanford, would you bow your heads and let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We thank you for the people that you love. We thank you for your powerful word. Father, I pray you'd come now and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen with me. Launch out. Launch out into the deep. Jesus is calling Peter and Andrew, James and John, you and me, launch out. Launch out into the deep and leave the things of earth behind you. Launch out into the deep and leave behind life as you've known it so far. Launch out into the deep and leave behind the long, dark night, your heavy labor and toil, your failures and frustrations. Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind the sins of your past. Launch out into the deep and discover what God has waiting for you that's exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or even imagine. Launch out. During the month of October, our congregation has launched into uncharted waters together with the launch of the Stanford Satellite Campus. We're trying something we've never tried before. We're reaching for new heights. We're going places we've never been. And we want to give thanks to the Lord. So far, we have had over 100 people at every Stanford service. And last Sunday morning, 5 people invited Jesus Christ into their heart. Amen. That's something to give thanks to the Lord for. And as we launch into this new adventure together, I hear the voice of Jesus calling. He's calling to individuals. He's calling to men and women. He's calling to students. He's calling to someone in Greenwich this morning. He's calling to someone in Stanford this morning. The time has come for you to launch. It's time for you to launch into a new relationship with Jesus. It's time for you to launch into a new intimacy with him. It's time for you to launch into a whole new way of life. It's time for you to launch into a new depth. It's time for you to launch into your calling and destiny in Jesus. Launch out. The key to understanding this story in Luke 5 is to understand that it is a calling story. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they already knew Jesus. They were already familiar with his ministry. They had heard his preaching. Jesus had even visited Peter's house and visited Peter's mother-in-law. They knew about Jesus, but this day was different. This day, as Jesus came walking down the shores of Galilee, he was seeking Peter out. Thousands of people were in pursuit of Jesus that day, but Jesus was in pursuit of Peter. He made a beeline straight for Peter's boat, and he asked him one simple thing: Peter, will you let me into your boat? Can I tell you that Jesus is right here this morning? He's walking in these aisles. He's in the majestic theater this morning, walking between the rows. He's making a beeline straight for your heart today, and he wants to know one thing: will you let me into your boat? Will you let me step into the center of your life and plant myself there? But you know, as I read on, Jesus wanted more than just to get into Peter's boat. He wanted to take over Peter's boat. He wanted to teach Peter. He wanted to take Peter into deeper waters. He wanted to take Peter deeper into relationship with him. He wanted to take Peter deeper in his faith. He wanted to take Peter deeper in supernatural experiences. He wanted to take Peter deeper in discipleship. Luke 5 is a calling passage. Jesus came calling on Peter that day to put his calling on Peter. And I believe that Jesus is here this morning in Greenwich, in Stamford. I believe he's come calling on us. I believe he's calling to us. He's inviting us. He's coaxing us today. Will you go deeper with me? Maybe like Peter and Andrew and James and John, you already know Jesus. You've heard teaching and preaching about him. Perhaps he's touched someone in your family, changed their lives, healed them. Maybe you've already invited him into your boat. When Jesus got into Peter's boat, he said, "Peter, will you put out a little bit?" And even though Peter was tired, he was willing to be put out a little bit for Jesus' sake. Even though Peter had other work to do that day, he sat and he waited patiently while Jesus taught the crowds. And maybe you too have been put out a little for Jesus' sake. You've given money, you've volunteered your time, even when you're tired, even when you had other work to do. But now Jesus is calling, launch into the deep water. You see, when you meet Jesus, his first question is, will you let me into your boat? Once you let him into your boat, his next question is, will you go deeper with me? I have figured out that Jesus is just like a hitchhiker. You know, when I was young and dumb, I used to pick up hitchhikers all the time. I figured I had a captive audience for a few minutes. It didn't occur to me that I could become a captive audience. I figured I had a captive audience and I could tell them a little bit about Jesus and just demonstrate a little bit of his love. But I stopped picking up hitchhikers after one snowy night. I was working out at Bally's Gym. I actually used to go and work out at Bally's Gym. And I left and it had just started snowing and there was a guy on the side of the road. So I stopped and I picked him up. And we started chatting and I found out that he was a student at one of the cooking schools in downtown Philadelphia, well-known chef's school. And as it happened, when I was in college, I had a part-time job at a cutlery in the mall that sold high-end kitchen knives, chef's knives, Henkel's and Trident, Wusthof, if you know the names. And so we offered a discount to the students at the cooking school. So we met many of them. They came in to buy their knives. And so he was telling me he was at the cooking school, and I was telling him about the cutlery, and he knew it. And the next thing I know, he started unrolling his knife roll to show me his knives. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me that I'm driving down the street with a perfect stranger beside me who is holding a 10-inch butcher's knife. It's like a psycho special. And I decided maybe this wasn't a very good idea. And even though he was going further than I was going, I just decided to drive him all the way home. And hitchhikers are like that. If you've ever picked one up, if you give them an inch, they'll ask for 10 miles. They'll say, can you take me to this corner? Can you take me to this place? And you take them that far. And sometimes they say, could you take me a little further? Could you take me a little further? And that's just like Jesus. He wants to get into your boat. But I can tell you, once he gets in the boat, his next question is, will you go deeper with me? And beloved, Jesus is here in this place this morning. He is calling by the voice of his Holy Spirit from the pages of his holy word. He's calling, now that you've let me into your boat, will you go deeper with me? And I believe that there's three ways that Jesus is inviting you and me to go deeper with him this morning. He's calling and he's asking, first of all, will you go deeper in your relationship with him? Will you go deeper in your relationship with him? Jesus asked Peter to go into the deep water so that he could call Peter into a deeper relationship. You know, for one thing, Jesus needed to get Peter alone with him. He needed to get Peter away from all of the hubbub on the shore, all of the commotion and everything going on. He needed to get Peter in a place where they could just be alone together. And Jesus is calling you and me into a deeper relationship, and he's calling us to just get alone with him. It's really quite remarkable. If you read the verses and look at them closely, there was this huge mob, thousands of people thronging around Jesus. There was all of Peter's friends on the shore, so much activity. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, let's go into deep water. And all of a sudden, it's just Peter and Jesus alone on the seas. Jesus wants to take you and I to the same place. He wants to take us somewhere where we can be alone with him. He had to pull Peter away from his work. He had to pull people away from his friends, even from going home to his family. He had to pull Peter away where they could be alone. Some of you, I have a word from the Holy Spirit for somebody in this place. Some of you have wondered why some things have happened to you. God, why have you pulled me away from my job? God, why have you pulled me away from friendships or other relationships that meant so much to me? Why have you pulled me away from the security of the shoreline? And now I'm here in an isolated place and I feel so alone. The reason he pulled you away was because he wanted to get alone with you. You see, when we get alone with him, we really begin to comprehend who he is, his greatness and his glory. There is a fundamental shift in Peter's understanding of who Jesus is that happens while he's alone with Jesus on the boat. In Luke 5 and verse 5, he addresses Jesus as master. In your English translation, the word is sir. It's a generic term of respect to anyone who has some stature or some bearing or authority. We were in the Chinese market in Hong Kong a couple of weeks ago, bargaining for $10 Rolex watches. And in the booths in the Chinese market, there are workers from impoverished countries all over Southeast Asia. And when they saw us walking through and knew we were Westerners, they kept calling to us, sir, sir. Sir, come here. Sir, come to my booth. Sir, come here. That's the same title that Peter that was calling Jesus, sir. But after Peter was alone with Jesus on the boat after he had a revelation of who Jesus really was, he doesn't call him sir anymore. He calls him Lord. Jesus wants to get you alone with him so that you can have a revelation of who he really is, his greatness and his power. He wants you to get alone with him so you can listen to him. Peter had to get away. He had to get away from his friends. He had to get away from the mob just so he could hear Jesus' voice. You see, Jesus had the answer. He had the answer to Peter's business problems. He had an answer to Peter's failures and frustrations. He was just longing to give Peter the strategy that would bring breakthrough in his life and bring success, but he couldn't do it until Peter was in a place where he was alone with Jesus and he could hear his voice. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is calling to someone in this place this morning. When was the last time that you were just alone with him? When was the last time? Early in the morning, or perhaps in the evening, or sometime in the middle of the day, when you just got into his presence, when you looked into his word, when you communed with him in prayer, and you were just with him alone so that you could hear his voice speaking to you. You know, not everybody knows the key. Not everybody knows the secret. Sometimes when they go to read the word, it doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't speak to them. Sometimes when they pray, it seems like nobody's listening on the other end. It's because they don't know the key. What's the Bible say? It says, enter into his gates with and into his courts with praise. Beloved, what you need to do is begin to develop an atmosphere of worship in your life. You need to begin to develop an atmosphere of worship in your home. You need to begin to develop an atmosphere of worship in your car. Shut off 8:80 a.m. It's all bad news anyway. The traffic, you're going to get there when you get there. And the weather, it's autumn, so bring a coat with you. You ever notice? You just let 8:80 roll and you listen to the same patter over and over and over and over and over again. Listen to it once and then turn on the praise and worship music. Some of us work in jobs where we have the privilege of being able to listen on our iPod or perhaps in our office to whatever we want. Begin to develop an atmosphere of worship around you and you'll find yourself in his presence. And then all of a sudden, you'll find yourself able to hear his voice speaking to you. Jesus has the answer. He has the answer to your marriage problems. He has the answer to your parenting problems. He has the answer to your financial problems. He has an answer to your health problems. He's just waiting for you to get in a place where you're alone with him so you can hear his voice. Come on, give God some praise in this place. And don't back away from conviction. Don't back away from conviction. When Jesus got alone with Peter in the boat, Peter all of a sudden became overwhelmed by the presence of God near him. When he began to understand who Jesus really was, he began to have a meltdown. He reacted the way so many others before him have in the presence of God. When Abraham saw God, he said, I am reduced to dust and ashes. He said, surely I shall die, for I have seen the face of God. When Moses saw God in the burning bush, he hid his face. When Job saw God, he said, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he fell on his face and he said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. When Daniel saw the Lord in a vision, he said, my strength was gone. My face turned deathly pale and I stood there helpless. When John the Revelator saw the glorified Jesus, he said, I fell down. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as one dead. You see, when you get alone in the presence of the Lord, you will be convicted. Peter all of a sudden was convicted of his sin and his shortcomings. an amazing passage of Scripture in Exodus 19 and 20. When God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, He said, I have called you out to be a nation of priests. God's plan was that every person would hear His voice. That every person, He would talk to every person, and He would talk through every person. Remember, Moses said at one point in the camp, I would that ye all prophesy. And in Exodus chapter 19, when they came to Sinai, God had Moses consecrate the entire congregation, and He called the entire congregation up to the foot of the mountain to meet with Him. God descended on the top of the mountain in a cloud of glory. There was thunder and lightning. There was smoke. The earth shook, and the people heard the audible voice of God. Moses went up to the top of the mountain, and God began writing with His own finger on tablets of stone the Ten Commandments. Can I tell you, they are commandments, not suggestions. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18 says that when the people saw the thunder and lightning, when they felt the earth shook, when they heard the sound of the trumpet getting louder and louder and louder, and the voice of the Most High God, it says they freaked out. They backed away from the mountain. And when Moses came down in Exodus 20 and verse 19, they said to Moses, we don't want to talk to God face to face. It's too scary. You talk to God for us and come back and tell us what He said. You see, they backed away from the presence of God because they didn't want to walk the walk of holiness that getting close to Him requires. Everybody look at me. Everybody listen. Don't lose this. Going deeper in your relationship with Him requires that you go deeper in holiness. It requires that you get sin out of your life. It requires that you allow Him to convict you again and again and again. I've been at this since I was 8 years old. I'm 44 now, and I want to tell you, it doesn't stop. When you come alone in His presence, there's such sweet fellowship. There's such wonderful communion. There's mysteries, but there's also work the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. Don't back away from it. Getting closer to Him requires sometimes that we get rid of things in our life that are not inherently sinful in themselves, but because they're first ahead of Him. Or because they distract us from focusing fully on Him. He comes and He convicts us and He says, I want you to get rid of these things. Paul said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial for my walk with Christ, so I get rid of those things. Don't back away from His convicting presence. Thank God Peter didn't back away. He had a little meltdown when he realized that he wasn't just standing in the presence of a sir, but when he realized he was standing in the presence of the Lord God, he had a little meltdown. He dropped down to his knees. He humbled himself. He confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ, and he confessed his sins. But I thank God so much that Peter didn't back away from the convicting presence of God. He learned how to embrace it. He learned how to run to it. Do you know, at the end of the story, when Jesus had been crucified and rose again from the grave, at the end of the story, it says the resurrected Jesus came and appeared to them again on the shore of Galilee. Peter was out in the boat fishing one more time, and apparently he got much better at catching men, but he never did really improve much as a fisherman, because he was having a bad day of fishing. One again, he hadn't caught anything, and Jesus came walking on the shore. That they didn't recognize that it was the resurrected Christ, and Jesus called to them, hey fellas, have you caught anything? And they called back and they said, no, we haven't caught anything. He said, why don't you try letting down your net one more time on the right-hand side of the boat? And as soon as they did, it was full of fish. And Peter said, it's the Lord. And even though he was standing there in his boxers, the Bible says he put his clothes on and he dove into the water and he swam to the shore and he ran to embrace Jesus. Even though he had denied him three times, even though he had failed, he learned in his life to run to the convicting presence of God and to embrace it and not to back away from it. Don't run away from your calling to be a priest. Later in his life, Peter wrote these words, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Jesus wants you to get closer in your relationship with him. He wants you to get alone with him, listen to his voice, and not back away from his convicting presence, but to run to him. Will you go deeper? Second way deeper, Jesus wants you to go deeper is in your faith. Jesus is calling this morning and he's asking, will you go deeper in your faith? Jesus asked Peter to go into the deep water because he wanted to take Peter deeper in faith. Our faith gets deeper when we dare to trust the wisdom of his word over the wisdom of the world. We talked about this a little last week. The wisdom of this word sometimes runs totally contrary to the wisdom of the world. So much so that it can make us wonder if God really knows what he's talking about. Jesus, the carpenter, took Peter, the fisherman, into the deep water, and then he asked Peter, the fisherman, to do something that was totally contrary to everything he knew about fish. Let down your nets for a catch. No, Jesus, you don't understand. This is just wrong. This is the wrong place. This is the wrong time of day. Do you see this net? It's the wrong net for daytime fishing. It's made of white linen cloth. The fish can't see it. It's invisible to them at night, but in the full light of day, they can see it and swim right around it. Jesus, you're wrong. This is all wrong. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down my net. Faith gets deepened when we make a choice to trust this word over what our own head tells us is reasonable. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The wisdom of the world says, get all you can all you get. The wisdom of the word says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the ability to get wealth and so confirms his covenant. The wisdom of the word says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this and see whether or not even in a recession, I can open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing on you that you cannot contain it. The wisdom of this word said that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and he will repay. The wisdom of this word says there is one who is generous and yet he increases more and more. There is another who holds on tight to what he has and it comes to poverty. The wisdom of this word says if you sow a little bit, you'll reap a little bit. If you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you always have everything you need to abound to every good work. Faith gets deepened when we dare to trust his word over what the world says is reasonable. Many of you know we have a Spanish congregation here. We are now doing 7 services between two locations. Last week, we had the highest attendance we've ever had, except for an Easter. And we now have somewhere between 12 and 1,400 people worshiping at harvest time every weekend. Thank you, Jesus. In 2004, we moved into this building. And throughout the year in 2004, we were finishing up. The building was done inside and out, but the parking lot, we had no parking lot. We had no lawn. We had no trees, landscaping, all of those things. And throughout 2004, we finished up all of that work. We finished late in the autumn. And after we finished that work, our construction loan, which was only interest, got converted into a mortgage, and the full weight of the financial burden of this building came on our shoulders. In our rented building, we were paying $3,000 a month. When we finally got the mortgage for this building, we were paying $33,000 a month. $3,000 a month, $33,000 a month. And the congregation was the same size. Everybody was giving as much as they could give. Believe me, if you were part of this church in those days, we gave till it hurt and even beyond. Thank you, Jesus. Church was growing. But, you know, we had never had a single month in 20 years. We were 20 years old then. We never had a single month in 20 years that the church was in the red. Every month, our giving in general fund exceeded our expenses in general fund for 20 years until January of 2005. And we were in the red in January of 2005. And then we were in the red in February of 2005 and in March of 2005. We have a great board. We have men that are full of the Holy Spirit and faith and wisdom. But by April, it started getting hot in the board meetings. We started loosening our ties. We started undoing the top buttons. By May, it started getting contentious. And by June, I knew it was bad because in the June board meeting, Dr. Rana, who was serving on the board at that time, spent the entire meeting with his head bowed in prayer. After about 2 hours, he finally picked up his head and he said, "Well, we can continue arguing about this, or we can fast and pray and see what God will do." I hadn't thought of that, actually. And so we did. The congregation didn't know, had no idea. Only the board knew, and we called a fast for the board. And our board members fasted together. And after the time we set, we met again at the Rana's house. And we had a great prayer meeting, and then we ate soup and went home. The next morning, I received a telephone call from a Spanish woman who asked to have an appointment with me. She didn't say what her business was, but I knew that she was going to ask me to use this building to start a Spanish congregation, and I knew that I was going to say no. We had spent 5 years fasting and praying and working, laboring, sacrificing, giving. There was no way after 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears that someone was just going to waltz in here and just start a Spanish congregation here in our beautiful building. We made the appointment for 2 weeks away, and I remember very clearly that day. It was a Tuesday morning, and I was out early in my garden working. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly. And he said, "Glenn, when you meet this woman, I want you to help her. I want you to open up the doors of the church to her, and I want you to cover all of their expenses." So I went back to the board at the July board meeting. And I said, "Hey, guys, I've heard from the Holy Spirit. We're going to start a Spanish congregation, and we're going to cover all their expenses." Nobody said a word. They started the first Sunday of August in 2005. Now, for those of you that don't know, August is usually death month for church finances. It's usually the lowest month of the entire year for giving because you all go on vacation and you take your tithe checks with you. Tell the truth and shame the devil. But you know, something bizarre happened. We were in the black in August of 2005. And then we were in the black in September of 2005. And then in October of 2005, we received the biggest gift we had ever had to our church up to that point. And it wiped out the entire deficit that we had run from January to July of 2005. And God opened up the windows of heaven on us so that we ended 2005 with an amazing surplus in our general fund. You see, God wants to deepen our faith, but in order to deepen our faith, He's going to put us in places where we have to choose whether or not we're going to trust His word or whether we're going to trust the wisdom of the world and trust our own understanding. But beloved, listen, here's the thing. God wanted to take Peter deeper in his faith so that he could take Peter deeper into blessings. See, wading in the deep water, there was a net breaking, boat sinking blessing that God wanted to unload on Peter, but he couldn't do it until Peter went deeper in faith. Jesus wants you and me to go deeper in faith too, so that we can go deeper into his blessings. Jesus is calling. Will you go deeper in your relationship with Him? Will you go deeper in faith? And finally, Jesus is calling this morning. Will you go deeper in supernatural experiences? Will you go deeper in supernatural experiences? Jesus asked Peter to go into the deep water so He could take Peter deeper in supernatural experiences. You know, Peter had already been a witness to miracles. Hang with me. We're almost done. I know we're over, but forgive me, but you got to hear this because you're going to speak in tongues when I'm done, all right? Peter had already been a witness to miracles. He had seen Jesus heal, even in his own house. But now Jesus wanted him to go deeper. Now this time, Peter just wasn't going to be a witness to a miracle. He was going to work the miracle. You see, the great catch of fish, it came through Peter's faith in the word of Jesus. The great catch of fish came through Peter's acts of obedience, pushing through his own weariness and worries to let down the net one more time. As he let down that net with his own hands, God used those hands to work the miracle. Jesus wants to take you and me through that same progression, first to be witnesses of miracles and then to become workers of miracles. First of all, you need to just get used to seeing strange and messy things. It says that when Peter saw the great catch of fish, it says he was astonished. I looked that up in Greek. It means he was freaked out. If you're somebody who likes to be in control all the time, if you are a control freak, you will probably struggle a little bit with the supernatural. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up in a place and shows off, it is strange and messy. The miracle of the fish, it was messy. The nets were so full, they couldn't pull them in. They began to break. Then they started to fill the boats with the fish, and the boats began to sink. It was not decently and in order. It was chaos. And Jesus wants you and me to go deeper in our experience of the supernatural, and we just have to get used to dealing with strange and messy situations. You know, that wasn't a problem for me when I was a kid. Grew up in a spirit-filled church that was in revival, and I saw, as a young kid, I saw all kinds of strange and messy things. Had a little girl in our church. I grew up with her. She was born deaf, and one day Jesus opened her ears and healed her. She went on to Westminster Choir College in Princeton, New Jersey, and earned a degree in piano performance and voice performance, and she has perfect pitch. Come on, give God some glory. We grew up with another little girl who was born with crippling arthritis through her whole body. She was crippled. Her limbs were all bent up, and she was half the size of a normal 8-year-old. This might stretch your theology a little bit, but her parents brought her to the church, and the elders laid hands on her and cast demons out of her. And when they did, she was healed from head to toe of that arthritis. In 2 or 3 months, she grew to the stature of a normal 8-year-old girl and just kept on growing normally after that. When I was a kid, when we finished church services, there were bodies all over the floor, everywhere. And the church leaders, the deacons and ministry leaders would have to sometimes carry people to their cars, drive them home, and stay with them sometimes 2 or 3 hours and sometimes 2 or 3 days. Until they recovered from their encounter with the Lord. Why do those things happen? I don't really know. All I know is God is 220 and we're wired for 110. And sometimes when he shows up, it just blows our circuits. I never had a problem with that until I went to Bible college. And then I got smart. And smug. And I began to have disdain for strange and messy meetings and things that were not decently and in order. I wondered if the people leading those meetings, I wonder if they knew Greek and Hebrew. I wondered if they could properly exegete the word of God. And I turned into a smug little Joe College. It's not that I didn't want God to do those things. I just wanted it to be clean. And I'll never forget my aunt. When I was in seminary, my aunt invited me to a meeting in St. Louis. Some charismatic friends that we had known from way back. And I really, really did not want to go to the meeting. She pushed on me and pushed on me. So I met her in St. Louis. And we went to the meeting. And the worship was fine, and after the worship, I really went to the meeting. Do you ever go to church sometime to really be a critic and a skeptic and to take notes? I decided, I was writing a paper actually on the book of 1 Corinthians, and I decided this was a good research experiment for Corinthian excess. And after the worship, they went to transition the service, but there was a group of people praying for a woman to come out of a wheelchair. And the speaker was trying to transition the service, but they were creating distraction, so I was rolling my eyes. And the speaker said, please, will you just go? There's a side room for prayer. Just go and take that sister to the side room for prayer and just keep ministering to her while we go into the Word. So they took that mess out of the way, and finally the serious part of Christianity began to happen as the Word of God was being taught. And somewhere during that sermon, the doors to that side room flew open. And 30 or more people came out with their hands in the air shouting praises to God. And I rolled my eyes one more time at a bunch of hysterionic, flaky, nutty people until I saw the woman who had been in the wheelchair come bolting through the doors. And she ran around and around and around and around the auditorium. And I remember it vividly because she had a colostomy, and her colostomy bag was dragging on the ground behind her as she ran around and around the auditorium. Strange and messy. But I promise you, if God didn't heal her that day for her, he healed her that day for me. Just to remind me that he's a very big God who can show up anytime he wants, any way he wants, and he can do anything he wants, any way he wants to do it. God wants you to go deeper, and you better get used to seeing some strange and some messy things. We've seen all kinds of strange and messy things since then. We've seen people throw up cancer and be healed. We've been in other countries, and we've had demons speak to us in English through the mouths of people who don't know any English. Courteous of them to tell us in English that they had no intention of going, so that we could tell them in English they had to go in Jesus' name, and they went. Let me tell you, that might freak you out. If you don't believe in demons yet, trust me, you will. Get used to it. Get used to seeing strange and messy things, and believe that God can work through dirty hands, even hands like yours. I want you to notice one thing with me. Notice this with me. Jesus worked a miracle through Peter's hands while they were still dirty. That's good preaching right there. I'm about to have a glory fit. Jesus worked a miracle through Peter's hands while they were still dirty. But before he ever fell on his knees, before he ever acknowledged Jesus as Lord, before he ever confessed his sin, Jesus worked miracles through the hands of a dirty fisherman. And if he can work miracles through hands like those, then he can work miracles through hands like yours and hands like mine. Jesus wants to take you deeper in supernatural experiences, so that you're not just a witness of miracles, but a worker of miracles. There's a verse in Psalm 103, verse 7. It says, "The children of Israel, they saw God's deeds, but Moses understood his ways." The children of Israel were witnesses to miracles. They were witnesses to the splitting of the Red Sea. They were witnesses to manna and water from a rock. They were witnesses to a rod of dead wood that budded into a blossom. They were witnesses to all those things. But Moses, he understood God's ways, and he was a worker of miracles. The children of Israel, they backed away from that calling to be priests unto God. Don't you back away. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood called to show forth the praises of Him. Learn to believe that God can work through hands like yours. Your touch, it can set the oppressed free. It can heal the sick. Your touch, it can minister the love of Christ to someone who's about to throw in the towel. Your touch. I want to tell you one last story, and then we're going to pray. When I just got out of Bible college, I went home to my home church where I had been on staff. It was a big church. My pastor was away in England, and I was in charge. Now, when you're fresh out of Bible college, and your pastor is away, and you're in charge, there's only one goal: don't screw up. There's only one goal: don't split the church. Don't cause any problems. The only goal is to have the pastor come home and find the place running like the well-oiled machine like it was. And we had a big Friday night prayer and praise service. Hundreds of people came every Friday evening. And I was sitting up on the altar during worship. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Give an altar call for people to get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And I started arguing with the Lord. I said, "No, God, that's out of order." Imagine. That's out of order. God, we're not singing Holy Spirit songs. We're not reading any Holy Spirit scriptures. There's not a Holy Spirit sermon. That's not what you're doing, God, in this meeting. And so while all the while worship's going on, I'm having this argument with the Lord. You never know what's running through your pastor's mind while worship is going on. The truth was, I was afraid. Truth was, I was terrified. I didn't have any problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years old, alone on my bed. God came down and visited me in his presence, and I began worshiping him in heavenly languages, in heavenly tongues. I didn't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. The next morning, I went down and told my mom what happened to me, and she explained to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't have any problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went to a Pentecostal seminary. I could put together a pretty fine exegetical sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was just terrified about what would happen if I taught about it or preached about it and gave an altar call and people came and nothing would happen. The Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was standing there fighting with God. And he said to me, Glenn, I am the one who baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything. I'm the one who does it. I just need your hands. I gave the altar call and 17 people came that night. And every one of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit and received a gift of speaking in heavenly languages. Heavenly tongues. See, Jesus wants you to go deeper. He wants you to go deeper in your relationship with him. He wants you to go deeper in faith. He wants you to go deeper in supernatural experiences. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Jesus is saying, now that you've let me into your boat, will you follow me? Will you come deeper with me? Stand up on your feet and give God some praise in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want your heads all over this place with me. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just love on him for 1 minute. Church, just love on him. Come on, just thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Jesus is here. Jesus is here in this place. Bow your heads with me if you would for just one moment. We're going to pray in just one moment. But before we do, I wonder if there is someone here. You've never taken the very first step. And that's to invite Jesus into your boat. That's to invite him into your heart. To invite him to forgive your sins. To humble yourself. To say, you're Lord. To ask him to be the captain of your ship. It's the very first step. And I wonder if there's someone here, you've never taken that step before. And today you want to do that. You want to ask Jesus into your boat, into your heart. And that's you. Before we pray, while heads are bowed, I want you to just lift your hand up high wherever you are. Reach out to the Lord. Thank you. Come on, thank you. Come on, there's thank you. Come on, somebody else. You've never thank you. Thank you. Come on, somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody else, you've never done it. Lift up your hand high. It's you and Jesus. Lift up your high hand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody else, lift up your hand high. Lift up your hand high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, I want to ask everyone, let's all lift up our hands together. Everybody, lift up your hands with me. We're going to pray a prayer. I want to ask everyone to follow with me as I lead you in a prayer. And we're going to take that first step today and invite Jesus into our boat. I'm going to lead, you follow. Let's pray. Father. Amen. Come on, Father. Thank you for loving me. Father. Thank you for sending your only son. Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I believe. You are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, I confess you are Lord. Jesus, forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me clean. Fill me. Jesus, I invite you now to be my Lord. and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. 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 In just one moment, I'm going to ask some people to come forward here to this altar. We don't have a lot of time. We're way past time, so we just got to do it quick. First of all, I'm wondering if there's anybody here and you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want to ask you to just come very quickly, and I want you to come right to the right, line up right at the front step right here. You got to come quick because we don't have time. Got to come quick. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just come very quickly. I'm wondering if there's someone here and you need healing in your body. If you're here, I want you to come stand right over here on this side. You need healing. Your baptism of the Holy Spirit, come over here just so I know what I'm praying for with who. If you need healing in your body, just come right over here. Prayer teams, I need your help. Prayer teams, pastors that are here, any deacons that are here, I need your help. I need you to come minister. Listen, prayer teams, no talking, all right? I want you to just touch. And the power of God is just going to be released through your touch, all right? I want you to just, not a lot of words, just one word, and the power of God's going to be released through you, okay? Now, for everyone else that's here, all right, healing people, I need you to just push in just a little bit, just step in a little bit closer if you're here for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to ask everyone here who just says, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to ask you to just come right forward to this altar while we sing one more time. I want to go deeper. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Lift up your voice.